removed from the Christmas holiday. And surely many of us have fresh in our minds some of the gifts that we have been given over the last couple of weeks. For instance, this week I am wearing a new shirt and tie that were given to me as presents for Christmas. I've got several shirts this year, and I appreciate the gifts, don't get me wrong. I appreciate the gifts that I've been given. But for some reason, the gifts this year seem to be just a little bit more plain, a little more mild than some of the presents that I've gotten in the past. And now you're thinking, well, what is he referring to? I'll give you an example. 3 years ago, Uncle Bob in Indiana gave me this. It is a rubber chicken. But it's not just any rubber chicken. This rubber chicken can speak. Listen. I didn't say it spoke English. It didn't speak chicken. But this is one of the gifts that I've been given in the past. And needless to say, all the cousins that year, as we gathered around opening gifts on Christmas Day, were jealous of the gift that I've been given. And quite clearly, this was the best gift, hands down, given that Christmas. Now this morning, we're not going to talk about physical gifts that we can give one to another. We're not going to be talking about gifts that are handmade or made by machines or gifts that we can buy and give. But this morning we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. And this morning we will be looking at three different aspects of spiritual gifts and the effects that these aspects might have on us as we as God's people minister to one another, and as we worship God. And these three different aspects that I would like to address this morning are that the spiritual gifts help us to celebrate our diversity, they make us the same, and we'll end with the question, what does this mean for us as the church? So if you wish to, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when we were pagans, you were enticed and led away to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God, who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. So let's begin today by looking at how we can celebrate our diversity. Now, as we look around this group, we might think that we have a lot of things in common. Most people in this group are middle-class people of European descent. Many of us grew up in rural communities, and maybe still do live in rural communities today. Often we are middle class, middle income people that come to church on a Sunday. And this is quite common in our churches as we look around. And often we see people that have a lot in common gathering together on Sunday mornings to worship. But I think that if we look closer at these people that are gathered here in this room this morning, we'll see that there's much more diversity than there is on the surface. As we look deeper at ourselves, we can see that we are quite different from one another. Because looks can be deceiving. There is a lot of diversity in each one of us. Each one of us is unique. We have all been created different in our own special way. Now they say that even identical twins, even though they share the entire same DNA, have some differences. Even twins, identical twins, have differences. They are diverse. Now, as we look outside today, it is probably in the mid-50s. And we haven't had much opportunity this year to observe the snowflakes. But snow, the snowflakes, they say each individual flake is different. Each individual snowflake is different from another. There are no two snowflakes alike. And as I said, we can't test that this morning because obviously there's no snow on the ground. But this is something that we believe to be true. No two snowflakes are alike. They are all quite diverse. Now, it is my belief that diversity is not only a good thing, but that it is imperative for the life of the church. Can you imagine how boring it would be if we all came here on a Sunday morning and we shared the exact same background, we shared the exact same personality, the exact same experiences, and the exact same giftedness? How boring would that be? Can you imagine our time of fellowship as we get together and converse with one another? And say, hey, Bob, how was your week? What did you do? Anything exciting? Well, I went skiing on Wednesday, and then on the way home, stopped at McDonald's for a Big Mac. Well, so did I. We're exactly the same. How boring is that? But even more so, even past the fellowship time, how boring would it be to be the exact same as everyone else? This morning we heard some music that we maybe hadn't been exposed to. And if we had all come in with the exact same expectations and tastes, maybe we wouldn't be exposed to new types of music. In our Sunday school hour, we have many different ideas that come out during that time. Many different perspectives on what it means to be a Christian. We all share with one another from our beliefs and from our experiences because we are all different. We bring many things to the table. Now, do you think that if we were all the same, if we were all cookie-cutter people, if we were all exactly the same as one another, that would be pleasing to God? You see, God is multifaceted like a diamond. God has many sides, many aspects. And we cannot fully experience God if we are limited through the way we worship and the way we minister. And we cannot be faithful to God if we are limited and we are single-dimensioned people. God is multifaceted. And that is why God has made us all different. God has given us gifts and made us different from one another so that we may worship God and minister to God's people. As God has given us all different spiritual gifts. As I read earlier in 1 Corinthians verses 8 through 10, it says, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, if you keep your finger there and turn forward to Romans chapter 12, we can find a near parallel to this parenthesis, this section of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8 says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. I encourage you to keep your finger there as well, because we'll be flipping back and forth between these two near parallel sections of the Bible. But if it wasn't clear to you before, I think it should be clear to you now that we are all quite different people. Not one of us is alike. We might have similarities. We might share aspects about our personalities with one another. But none of us, not two people throughout the world, are exactly the same. We are like snowflakes. We have been created uniquely by God. We have been created uniquely to do God's ministry and to worship God. God has created us in this way to serve God's purposes. God has given some of us, not myself included, the gift of music. God has given some of us the gift of compassion. God has given some the gift of administration. And so on and so forth. God has given out gift after gift to people. And we have all been gifted in some way or another. It's very true that we all have been gifted, even if we haven't recognized our own giftedness. And not all of the gifts that God apportions to the people have been mentioned by Paul. Today we find people that are gifted in audio-video technology and sounds and things of that nature. People that are able to employ their gifts in church worship services. But years ago, say centuries ago, we wouldn't have had a sound technician in a church. But Lowell is gifted and able to use his giftedness this morning. Paul wouldn't have known anything about these things when he wrote these texts. So not all gifts are listed in the text, but we are all gifted. And this brings me to my second point for this morning, and that is that our spiritual gifts are a part of our oneness. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7, Paul writes, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." We have all been blessed with gifts of the Spirit. We all have some giftedness within our bodies that we can use to worship God and minister to our fellow brothers and sisters. But all of our giftedness, as diverse as our gifts are, come from the same source. And the source of our gifts is the triune God, the one true God. Now we make a mistake if we try to separate out the persons of the Trinity so that they become individual manifestations. We make a mistake if we make them too separate from one another. For instance, if we say that our gift is simply from the Son or from the Father, we aren't giving the triune God the respect that the triune God deserves for the gifts that we have been given. Now, Paul writes in here that there are a variety of activities with the same God. He writes that there are a variety, that there are the same gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, he uses Spirit, and he uses God, and he also says we have services with the same Lord. And some people have looked at this and said, well, different aspects of the triune God are gifting us in different ways. That the Spirit gives one thing, the Lord Christ gives us another, and that God gives us still yet other gifts. But still, if we separate out the triune God too much, we are making a mistake, because the Lord God is one. But we can learn by looking at the Trinity how we can use our giftedness together. Because even in the Trinity, in the triune God, we find diversity. Yet, God is still one. In the triune God, we find the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. The three manifestations of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. These three non-personal terms for God help us to see the diversity that we have in God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. But still, God is one. These three aspects, these three manifestations of God work together for one purpose. Now, diversity is something that is not to be rejected. We should not all try to be one, as in one person, but we should celebrate our diversity together. And using God as our model, we must ask ourselves, how might we celebrate our diversity together? Now, Romans 12, 4 through 5 gives us an example of how we might do this. Beginning in verse 4, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, but we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another." We are the body of Christ, the gathering of believers. And if one person and their gift and their giftedness is left out of the body will suffer. Imagine if you didn't have a stomach, how that might affect your body. Or a pancreas. Nobody knows what a pancreas does, but I'm sure it's important. If your body didn't have a pancreas, your body would suffer, and it would not be able to function at its highest level. But when we come together as a body, as the body of Christ, when we bring our giftedness together, then we can function at our best. Then we can most fully achieve our goals of worshiping together and ministering to one another. If we are indeed all individuals like snowflakes, all diverse and different and distinct from one another, are we still not yet part of something bigger? Even individual flakes are still the same substance. There's still snow. And one individual snowflake in and of itself does not have much of an impact on the world around it. But when we get many snowflakes put together, when they accumulate, they can have a huge impact on the world. And if you don't believe that's true, just ask people in Denver, Colorado, just how much of an impact a few snowflakes bonding together can make. Because alone we might not amount to much. We might just be a few flakes. Pun was intended. But together, we are a force to be reckoned with. And this brings me to my third and final point for this morning. The question that I want to ask is, what does this mean to us as the church? So at this time, I want to show you another gift that was given to both Sonia and myself. This gift was given to us on July 19th, 2003. Did I get the date right? Yes. That is the date of our anniversary. I'm going to walk it back here so everybody can see what this gift was. This picture was drawn for us by my friend Matt Ramsteyer. And Matt is a gifted artist. Don't let the picture of the cow fool you. He is very gifted as an artist. And Matt recently graduated from the University of Akron with his degree in art education. If I can prop that up. We'll leave it down there. Matt recently graduated with a degree from Akron in art education, and he is now an art teacher. And as we were growing up, I mean, we looked at Matt, and we knew that he had a gift. Because even in high school, when I'm there trying to draw my stick figures, trying to get those exactly the right lines in the right places and keeping them as straight as possible, and putting the little dresses on the women to distinguish them from men, I would look over, and Matt was a good friend of mine, I'd look across the table and look at what he was drawing, and he'd have exact replicas of Monet's and Picasso's. All drawn by pencil in like 5 minutes. The guy was a gifted artist and still is to this day. But he was never really able to fully express himself when he was limited by pencil and paper. So as he got into college, he was able to learn more about how to express his art, his artistic ability through art. He had the chance to do things such as sculptures and make collages. And one of the things that he found that was able to help him most thoroughly express his artistic ability was through painting. Now, has anybody here ever seen a true master painter at work? They are so much fun to watch. They begin with nothing and create something beautiful. Now, at this time, I just want you all just to close your eyes and imagine with me for a moment. I see eyes open. Imagine a master artist holding a palette of paint. And on that palette are colors of red, yellow, green and blue, browns and blacks, many colors, all the colors of the rainbow. And only the artist knows, only the master artist knows how to mix them together to create new colors. And only the master artist is able to put them down on this once plain canvas to create something beautiful. Only the artist knows how it is supposed to look when he or she is done. And when this master artist finishes this painting, after he or she is done blending these colors together in such a way as to create something new, only the artist knows if it is right, if it is in accordance with the vision that they had in their head. Nobody else knows what they were trying to create, except the master artist. And if it is like the vision that they had in their head, surely they are happy with their picture. Now you can open your eyes. And we as believers are like the colors on the artist's palette of paint. We are all so different from one another. Some of us are blues, some of us are reds, some are greens, and some are yellows. We are all quite diverse. We are all quite unique. And God is the master artist who is able to blend us together, to use us to create something beautiful, something magnificent, something that we call the church. A church that is the group of believers gathered together, using our gifts to worship God and to minister to one another. And when we as a church fill God's canvas the way that God had pictured in His mind, truly the master artist is happy. Surely the artist is content and pleased. But what if the colors on the palette decided one day that they didn't want to be what they had been designed to be? What if one day red said, I want to be blue? What if one day green said, I want to be yellow? Well, this wouldn't make any sense to us because colors can't decide how they're made. Colors can't choose their own hue. They can't choose their own color. What a silly example. But are we so different? We sometimes wish that we could change our colors as well. We sometimes wish that we could change the way that we were made to serve a different purpose than what we were meant to serve. Now, we cannot change our spiritual gifts, but many of us wish to. Now, in our scripture reading from today in verse 1, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And the reason that many scholars believe that Paul began writing about spiritual gifts is because people had inquired him about giftedness. Because it is believed that many of the first century Christians that were able to speak in tongues were saying that this was the best gift possible. That anybody who could speak in tongues was truly a Christian, truly a follower of Christ. And if you could not speak in tongues, then you must have been something less than that. Maybe just a pretender. Just a poser. So what does Paul say in reaction to this? If we go on into chapter 14, verses 18 through 19, Paul writes, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Nevertheless, in church I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. And it has been said that many times when Paul lists the spiritual gifts, that he lists speaking in tongues last or near last. And this is Paul's way of saying, you know what, you people that think speaking in tongues is the best gift out there, guess what? It's just one of many. It's great that you can speak in tongues, but it's great that someone else can share their feelings with one another, to share compassion. It's great that you can minister to one another. It's great that someone else has a gift of music. You're not any more special than anyone else. That's why Paul says in Romans, the famous line, one should not think more highly of themselves than they ought. Because spiritual giftedness is from God. And the Spirit gives gifts as the Spirit sees fit. It doesn't mean anything special about you. We are all gifted in our own special ways. All have been given a spiritual gift. And I am guilty, as guilty as the next person, of coveting somebody else's gift. I can see a great preacher on TV or in real life. I can look at them and say, wow, I wish I could speak like whoever it might be, like Billy Graham. I wish I had that ability. Or I see people leading hymns and worship. I think, why was I not given that gift? Think of how many people I could reach if I could just lead music, if I could just sing. But you see, just because I don't have the gift that some people have, that doesn't make me less of a Christian. That doesn't make me less of a follower of Christ. But it means that I'm gifted in other ways. And sometimes we don't see that right away. We don't see how we are gifted. We must search for that gift. Sometimes it's easier for other people to look at us and say, you have this ability. You have this gift. You should use that in the church. And I think we should encourage one another to do that. If you see a giftedness in somebody, tell them. Tell them to use that. Use your giftedness. There is, however, a sin when we look at somebody else and we are jealous. If we are jealous of somebody else's giftedness, then we are missing the mark. We are falling short of God's will. But each gift is just as important as we minister to one another and as we worship God. Let us not think less of the giftedness that we have been gifted with, because we too are recipients of things from God Himself. Now, in conclusion this morning, I just wish that we could imagine, let's just imagine together for this time, what it might look like if we were to use the gifts that God has given to us to their fullest capacity. What if we were to allow the master artist to use us as he saw fit on the canvas that we call Stanton Mennonite Church? How might we allow God to blend our gifts together, to use them to paint a beautiful picture that we call the church? And through this picture, we will be serving God in ministry to one another, and worshiping God. Let us not neglect our diversity. Let us not covet one another's gifts. But let us celebrate our diversity together in the way that God meant us to. Let us worship the one true God and serve Him for all our days. Will you please join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we confess that we so often fall short of your good and perfect will. But Lord, may we recognize that you have gifted us all in one way or another. Let us not covet one another's gifts, but let us use the gift you have given us to further your kingdom, to worship you, and to minister to one another. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these gifts. May we use them to their fullest capacities. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.